kindergarten age children to an open house. They call it Kindergarten Roundup. And on Wednesday, April 14th, so that's not this Wednesday, is it? It must be next Wednesday. From 8 a.m. till another a.m., I think it's 11 a.m., from 8 to 11, our children, preschool age, 4, 5 years old, are invited to the school to participate in Kelly's classroom. I'm sure it will be a huge blessing for the children. It's the best classroom at Capital City. So kids who've ever been there, you know what the best classroom is at Capital City. It's Kelly's room. And the other announcement just is in our bulletin. It was the insert that was there. I just wanted to bring attention to this flyer that you have in your bulletin. And LifeWorks with Pastor Ron Cluzet. Does that name ring a bell? Should ring a bell. Pastor Ron Cluzet did a series of meetings a few years back, and you broadcast them here. He is going to be sharing what your life could mean to the cause of Christ. And it is those who have attended the evangelism training events know that they've all been very good, but I've been told that this one is absolutely the best in the entire series, and so you don't want to miss it. So please take note of the date. That's Friday, this coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Mother's Day. They scheduled it for Mother's Day. Can you believe that? I don't know. Ladies, if there's any reason to share any time of Mother's Day with a child of God, would it be okay if it was because they're getting training for a service? Is that okay? Is that okay with you? I think that might be the only excuse for missing the opportunity to share with our mothers how precious they are to us. Thank you for letting me just highlight those two things with you. Oh, I'm being shown a card. It looks something like this. There's a picture of a really handsome guy on the back. This is basically the same card that we used last fall to advertise our meetings that we had at the Harding High School for Eastside. We're going to be hosting the same event at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in St. Paul First. And so there's a map on the back, and it tells a little bit about when it is and who should be there. Who should be there? Everybody should be there. Costs a lot to be there, right? Might cost your entire life. It might. But it doesn't cost any money, so that's good. A little bit of time, a little bit of investment of yourself in the learning process, but the benefits are, highly rewarding. If you're not going to come, be sure you give this to somebody else who can come. Okay? And if you are going to come, be sure you give this to somebody else so they can come. Okay? You don't need this for a souvenir. It's an invitation. Just give it to people. Okay. All right. Thank you for reminding me to remind you. Okay. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's my prayer that the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, may be pleasing in your sight. Not only the words, Lord, but the tone of my voice, the expression of my face, may be animated by the love of Jesus Christ. I've been in on a journey with the Lord, and part of the message today is the fruitage of a journey that I have been on for several weeks now. One of the brothers that I pastor is was having difficulty with this topic of gentleness, which led me on a search of the scriptures. I wanted to know everything. I'm one of those kind of guys. I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. I want to know everything the Bible says about the topic of gentleness from any angle I could possibly understand it. And as I was reading, I realized that I have a lot to learn, and that Jesus wants me to be more like him in this area. You know, we are in the, I believe, the very end of this world's history. Do you believe that? The end of the great controversy. We have foes. There are enemies of the truth. People who oppose and exalt themselves above all that is called God. The Bible says we are to put on the whole armor of God and be ready to stand our ground for him, even with our very lives. With all these allusions to battles and wars and fighting the good fight, the armor of God, if that is all we focused on in the scriptures, it could lead one to adopt a very militant mindset. Every encounter we have with people can be seen through the lens of controversy and conflict. Now, we do have an enemy afoot who goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But that is the point, exactly. He, that is, the devil, is our enemy. We are not at war with man, unless that war is characterized as a fight for their heart, to turn their loyalty and their affection to the beauties of Jesus, to convince our world that God is not their enemy. If we come at people in a combative spirit, we should never hope to win their heart for Christ. So right now, right in the middle of our end time battle, this sermon today is essential for us to grasp. It is essential for us to learn what Jesus wants for us as we relate to people while entrenched in a battle. Our topic today is the gentle spirit. And we are going to start with the example of Jesus. I would like you to feel welcome to turn with me in your Bibles, or simply follow along with the PowerPoint that's been prepared here to go along with our Bible search. Now, many of you have received a slip of paper with a verse on it, and I asked you before the service if you would read. Thank you for agreeing to that. I'm going to ask if Emil would take one of these mics here and put it in the hand of whoever is reading next, okay? Most of them are in the back half of the church, okay? Thank you, Emil, for doing that for me. But I'd like to start in the story of Jesus, and this is my verse that I'm going to read. In Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30, where it says, Jesus is inviting us to come to him. All you who labor and are heavy laden, he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you know the illustration here of a yoke. What is a yoke made of? Wood, right? And what animal usually is harnessed to it? An ox or some kind of a cow-like strong animal, beast of burden, for the purpose of teaming up two animals so that they work in tandem as they pull a heavy load, or a plow that needs a lot of strength, more strength than one can bear. Jesus is here illustrating his kingdom in this way. His neck is under the yoke. And he's inviting you and me to come alongside and place our neck voluntarily under the other side of the yoke and partner with him. Those who are contemplating working alongside Jesus in his work of saving people, as symbolized here by taking his yoke upon them, are instructed, invited, commanded to first come to Jesus and learn from him. And what is it that they are to learn? Specifically, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Is this the, and learn from me for what? I am gentle and lowly in heart. Those are the two things that Jesus highlights in this verse, that we are to learn from him as we partner with him in his ministry. Not tactics, not strategies, character. They are to learn to be meek and lowly in heart, gentle like Jesus. It seems a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? When it comes to standing up for what is right, when it comes to the principles of truth, we are to stand tall and true and firm, immovable. But when it comes to people, even erring people, how we treat people, we are to be meek and gentle. Now, I have handed out several cards, as I mentioned. I would like to read in rapid fire succession. These verses represent some of the many statements from the inspired writers of the Bible, all centered around the topic of gentleness. And the first one comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And who had, right up here, and Lily has this one. And Lily, if you could use this microphone to project your voice. Here's what she's going to read.
Okay, First Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
Thank you, Lily, very much. It says here that God values what? A gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. What does God value? He values gentleness and lowliness of heart. Wow. Now, we've established we are engaged in a spiritual battle, and the fighting is intense. And when conflict rages, how is it that we are to conduct ourselves? Gently and quietly. That is how we win the battle. It is not by show of strength, superior intellect, better arguments. A combative, won't let myself yield kind of spirit. It's exactly the opposite. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand.
The Lord is at hand, or the Lord's coming is right upon us. Let your what be known to all men? Your gentleness. Especially as we get closer to the coming of Jesus, especially as the controversy in our world over matters of truth and error increases and intensifies and comes to its climax, we are to be gentle to all. We can't pick and choose, can we? who we're gentle to. That's not an option. Not for the Christian. When it comes to our treatment of people, all people, the character, the trait that is to characterize our deportment is gentleness. Some versions read to be considerate or forbearing, patient or kind. When it comes to people, good people, bad people, all people, we are to be gentle. All right. James 3, verse 17. All right. Just behind you, Emil.
James 3, 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. That is God's way. That is God's wisdom, that we are to be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. Titus 3, verse 2, admonishes us to do this. Ella, thank you.
Titus 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men.
Okay. What is the action in this verse that is contrasted with being peaceable, gentle, and of a humble spirit? What's the opposite? Yeah, right here. To speak evil of somebody. Have you ever spoken evil of somebody? Yeah, to speak evil of no one is the admonition here. By contrast, we are to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. It is our pride that pits our superiority against another. It's called spiritual pride. If you've ever done this, that's what you're wrestling with. The antidote here is humility, to be peaceable and gentle. Christians who have a humble spirit of Jesus will never speak evil of somebody. You know why? Because they come at every problem and every person with their problem in partnership with Christ. They do not come at it in their strength or in their wisdom or in their own manner. They come at it with Christ, who's willing to lay down his life for the erring. Right? While they are yet sinners. To speak evil of someone is to short-circuit what Christ wishes to accomplish in their life. That's why we can't do it. Our next verse comes from Philippians chapter 2. That's not Philippians chapter 2. I must have skipped one. Who has Philippians 2 verse 3? Thank you, Richard.
Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than self.
Every time I read this verse, it's like, ouch. For me, I don't know about you. Maybe you've mastered this. Lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than myself. This verse steps on my toes every time. But so be it. Until I get it, may my toes be in eternal pain. I need to learn this, amen? We all need to learn this. To esteem others better than ourselves. Let's take Romans 12:18 now. Who had that one? All right, our brother in the back.
Romans 12:18, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men.
Wow. If it's possible implies that in some cases, it isn't possible. But if it's up to you, right? If it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. All right, over here, our sister over here, Christine.
Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be cautious.
And be courteous, yes. Wow. This is the only verse in the Bible that I know of that talks about having a courteous spirit, being courteous. That's very, very impressive. I'm glad Peter thought to include that, or if it was the Holy Spirit thought to include that. I'm glad. So many times when we are dealing with people who are different from us, we think we can be discourteous. But a person who loves as a brother and is tender-hearted will always be courteous. So how many of us are to cultivate this gentle spirit? How many of us in this verse? Not just the pastor? Oh, okay. Does that mean you? Does that include you? Amen. All of us. It's not good enough that most of us here at church are trying to master this. It's not good enough in a church where 99 out of every 100 of us have cultivated this kind of spirit. You see that? All of us need to commit to this mindset, this one mind, to have compassion for one another, to love one another, to be tender-hearted and courteous to one another. All of us, always, only ever. It's interesting to me that if we're going to achieve this unity here, it'll be in this spirit right here. In the Bible, this gentle spirit is especially needed when it comes to correcting the erring. When it comes to those who have taken views contrary to us, and more importantly, contrary to God's word, we may feel in those cases we are perfectly justified to just let them have it. And when they insist, or when they resist our correction, or they reject our correction, we may dig in and become even more insistent, more confrontational. But it is here, when dealing with those in error, that our gentleness and meekness is most important. I have three verses this morning. There's three more verses that I've handed out that address just this. What to do with somebody that we have found to be in error? How are we to treat the erring? So the first verse comes to us from 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 to 26. And before we read this verse, it's in the back here. Before we read this verse, a little background could be helpful. Timothy was a young pastor. He was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. He had attended every Bible bowl, as it were, since the time he was a wee lad. But while pastoring the newly founded church in Ephesus, he found there were many there who wanted to engage him in theological debate over the tenets of his faith and the faith of the early church. And this was written to that pastor by Paul.
Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they will generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, be able to teach, be patient, and in humility correct those who are in opposition. Perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, who have been taken captive by his will.
Thank you for reading that. Oh, here's the verse in case there was something there you couldn't hear. Few things to note here in this passage. How steeped were these people in their error? What does it say there at the end? They were in the snare of the devil, and they had been taken captive by him. How steeped are they in their error? Completely, right? They are taken. These are pawns of the devil. They were caught in the snare of the devil. And these are people in the church or out of the church? In the church. Was Timothy to engage them in their disputes? Let's go back. What does it say here? Avoid it. Don't engage it, right? Avoid it altogether. No, instead of quarreling and arguing, what were they supposed to do? Four things. They should not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patient, and in humility do what? Correct those who are in error. I'm going to need the microphone on. For some reason it stopped. I don't know. Can you hear me? Let's try it again. How about this mic? Okay. All right. Timothy was not to pit argument against argument, but very humbly and patiently, he was to take his Bible and point. What about this verse? How do you see this verse? What about what God says here and here and here and here? Apt to teach. And this was to be done gently. Proverbs 15, verse 1, ups this a notch. What if out and out conflict and rage has entered the dialogue? Who has Proverbs 15, 1? Okay, our sister here, Sophia, in the front. Surely when rage has entered the dialogue, we are justified in letting our anger out, right? Just as long as we're not as angry as the other person, right? If they're like super angry, we can be a little angry. No. Okay. What does Proverbs 15:1 say, Sophia?
A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Thank you. It says in some translations where the word soft answer, a gentle answer, will turn away anger and wrath. In this proverb here, what is desirable, the soft answer or the harsh word? Do you see that? The goal here is not to stir up anger, but rather to turn it away. That's why this proverb was written. These aren't two options and you get to pick and choose your style. It's a contrast. Do it this way, not that way, right? The goal here is not to escalate the conflict, but to end it. Not to intensify the anger, but to meet it squarely with a gentle spirit. I've had an experience like this. It's actually one of those experiences that was a victory, so don't be surprised. But I actually had an experience with this. I was trying to park in a parking lot just off of University Avenue in Frogtown. And it was very crowded. It was around Christmas time, if I remember correctly, over a year ago. And the store I needed to get to, there was line after line after line of parking stalls that were full. So I was going up and down and up and down through the parking lot. I finally found a spot about three or four rows away from the store. So I put it in park and I opened the door, and just then this car suddenly stopped behind me, and the lady made her window come down on the passenger side, and she was yelling at me through her car window, her open window. She was mad, really mad. I thought, man, did I take her place? I mean, I had already parked and gotten out, and she was yelling at me. And she said that I had been driving way too fast and almost hit her. And I was thinking, wow, I didn't even see her car before she slammed on the brake behind me. To be honest, I don't remember her or her car. I had no idea what she was talking about. I had a handicapped person in my vehicle. And I know I wasn't driving any faster than 5 miles an hour. I know this to be a fact. But I could tell by the tone of this lady's scream, she was really upset. So I said softly how terribly sorry I was for driving in such a way that I threatened her sense of safety. And she looked at me. Who talks like that? And yelled again at me that it was very foolish of me to be driving so fast in such a crowded parking lot. And I agreed. It was very foolish of me. And again, I emphasized how sorry I was. She concluded her tirade with a final yell that I should be more careful and calmly. I calmly assured her I remain committed to doing just that. After which, she sped off on her way toward the exit onto University Avenue, driving much faster than 5 miles per hour. Now, we must ever keep in mind that it is not the argument we are trying to win, not as Christians. It is the heart of people. We are trying to win people to the side of Him who said He was meek and gentle in spirit. So this brings us finally to our verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And who did I hand this one out to? Ah, thank you, thank you. Galatians 6 verse 1.
Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
All right. The transgressor in view here is overtaken in a trespass. You see that? Overtaken in a trespass. He is not merely a trespasser, he is overtaken in it. And as before, this is somebody in the church, right? A brother in the church. The goal of the spiritual brother or brothers, the goal is to do what? Restore him. Restore him. And it is very important to keep this in mind. If our goal is to reconcile, if our goal is to win the heart, if our goal is to restore him to Christ and to the church, if that is the goal, reconciliation, then it limits us in our options of how we do that, what we say and what we do. We can't just use any tool that's out there. Because some tools do not restore, they destroy. So what spirit is this restoration to be done in? It's the theme of the whole sermon today. That's right. It's gentleness. In a spirit of gentleness, when they are a brother, they know better, and they're steeped in this wrong, and you can't do anything to correct them. What are you supposed to do? Is just be gentle. Wow. This was a revelation to me. When we are dealing with people in error, and if the Bible is true, and I believe it is, that's going to increase as time goes on. We're going to meet more and more people in error. And as it increases, what kind of spirit are we to have towards those in error? A gentle spirit, meekness. It's not our persuasive presentations of truth that are going to win the heart of people. It is not meeting argument with argument. But here is what it is. No one has ever been reclaimed from a wrong position by censure and reproach. But many have thus been driven from Christ and led to seal their hearts against conviction. A tender spirit, a gentle, winning deportment may save the erring and hide a multitude of sins. The revelation of Christ in your own character will have a transforming power upon all with whom you come in contact. You see that there? Isn't that beautiful? This statement brings us full circle. If we're going to do Jesus' work, it is important for us to do it in Jesus' way. Get to know Jesus. Connect yourself to Jesus. Lose yourself in Jesus. Be saved forever by Jesus. Learn from Jesus, and you will find rest for your souls. Not only ours, but also for all who engage in the battle for the lost race. Their soul will be blessed as well because of you, because you found Jesus. Jesus' work, Jesus' way. May God bless you all.